We had the schus to begin the Sefer Ayeka last day of Shabbos. As Hashem's Sfarim, more Sfarim are on their way. So we're in the Maimer of the Mavo, the introduction. The pages aren't numbered, but we're on the second side, the second page. The middle of the page, a little bit below, where it says She'ela Zu. The She'ela, the question, of course, that we're talking about is Hashem asking Adam HaRishon. One of the Chevra asked was Chava also being asked the question. That's an interesting question. Pashi says that it was a question to Adam Chava, but all right, well, it's not, we don't have to go into that right now. But the question was asked, Ayeka, where are you? Sheila Zuno Kevis V'yaredes Ad Tahim HaNefesh. This entire Sefer is devoted to understanding the question and working on the answer. This question is Nokevis V'yaredes Ad Tahim HaNefesh. It pierces and penetrates to the depths of a person's soul. It wasn't just being asked of other Marishans. All of us are dragging around Gan Eden. That's not the Gan Eden we can, but whatever the Gan Eden is that we're trying to make for ourselves, we're dragging around and hiding and so on, and running away from ourselves, running away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, Ayaka, Chaderus the Kol Echad Miyitanuitz. You should feel it piercing and penetrating to the depths of each and every one of us. Hanochash Akadmonu Lohis Ayev. The snake is not tired. The Nochash Akadmoni, that snake from Gan Eden, the serpent from Gan Eden, is alive and well and is working, like they say, 24/7, even on Shabbos. The Nochash works on Shabbos. Yudehu Livshay Tzur of Lilbay Tzur. And the snake is very good at changing its outfits, changing its costume. The snake will get dressed according to that time in history, that person's life. In every generation, the snake comes with offering new and magical kisuma, magical worlds, all kinds of exciting things. Betumunos mahivos with spectacular graphics. Ubatsos, mefatos, with all kinds of seductive proposals and offers. Mefarsim and meshavek, the snake has a way of, also is not only good at graphics, also at marketing. Meshavek is the word shuk. The snake is very good at marketing, at selling. Eitz toiv lomarev nechmer lahaskel, the same way that it was in Gan Eden. That the tree or what the snake is offering looks very, very good. And it would be fantastic. Venechma Lahaskal is something to try to get and to understand. And the hearts are drawn after the voice of the snake. And the same that happened to Adam in Gan Eden where he stopped listening to his own voice, to the voice of Hashem within him, to the deeper voice within him, and he listened to that voice outside of himself, the snake. And as a result of that, he forgot. Shochim es ha'or ha'atzmi shalhan. The tachlis of the snake is that man should forget his own inner voice and his own inner light. Nasim sarchani tarbu shalom. And people become the consumers of the snake culture. Become consumers of what the snake is selling. Instead of man being himself, creative, Hashem wants each person to find himself and to answer that question of Ayeka, and to create a life based upon or coming from the original skills, talents, the kaiches and efforts that Hashem gave her. But instead, we're led after that external voice of the snake. Hashem wants each one of us to make our own homes. and to give birth to and to bring forth in our lives our own light. Instead of that, might seem la'or, and to bring out rather, might seem la'or is yahalomei hakodesh, to bring out the holy diamonds, agnuz and batz miyusim, that are hidden in each and every one of us. Hamavak ben hanochesh uben haneshama ha'atzmis. This fight, this ma'avak, this struggle, this war between the snake and the neshama of the person, and the neshama ha'atzmis, the neshama of the person himself. Hu ma'avak ben ha'ilm ha'pnimi ha'atzmi. It, of course, is a ma'avak. It's a fight between the inner person, the inner life of the person himself. Ben ha'ilm ha'schitzani ben ha'itzim. An external, attractive, sparkling worlds. Zo ma'avak histori. This is a historical struggle. Ala zehus ha'amitis shel ha'adam. The struggle is over the true identity of a human being. Al mahus ha'v'nishmas. It's a struggle, it's a war over the mahus, over the essence, and over the soul of a person. Next page. V'meila al derech ha'chayim ha'tovim lo. V'meila ha'chayim ha'tovim lo. And Mimela, it's a struggle over what is the correct path that one should choose in life. Do you create a life for yourself that is designed to accommodate the will of the snake, of that external outside nachash, or do you build a life that comes from within yourself? Shall yada yaval ha'aisha v'al tovas achai. And that will determine whether or not you're going to live a life that's fulfilling and to be able to experience misukusam v'nayamam, the sweetness and the pleasantness of life. And you could be in the heat of this or of this struggle. And then from time to time, Baha Hashem Elokim, just like with Adam, who was caught in this thing between himself and the snake, to listen to what his neshama was telling him, or to listen to what the snake was saying. And then Hashem appears. Baha Hashem Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows up. Hashem appears. V'shor las Adam she'elan okeves. And you hear Hashem asking you the same ancient question. Ayaka, where are you? Somebody was just telling me about somebody in his mishpach that's a very chash of a person, and he is living in a certain lifestyle, and he said that this person told him that things were going okay until he began to think. That was a gewaldig gevart. And he said, then from the moment he started thinking, he realized that this is just not the life that he wants to live. So that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mislabish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enclosed in that thought. Of course, what happened to this young man is that Hashem came to him and asked him the question. Ayaka. Is this who you are? Is this what you want to do with your life? What are you doing? So everything was going fine until I started thinking. And he doesn't realize that. And the started thinking means that Hashem Ezbach just crept into his brain and asked him, Ayaka. There are many different ways that we could hear that question, Ayaka. B'sok she'lazu, contained in that question, Tumuna ha'arocha atzuma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam. That question shows how HaKadosh Baruch Hu values our lives, how important we are to Him, how important we are. The same way that the kid when he's little thinks it's the best thing if he has a parent that doesn't bug him at all. that never asks him important questions, that's not trying to get him to think, that's not challenging him. The best kind of a parent or a teacher is just, leave me alone. Let me do whatever I want. And that parent, the person thinks that, oh, that's a gewaltige parent. But when you become a parent yourself, and if you have some self-awareness and intelligence, that even before you become a parent yourself, you know that that's not a sign of caring or of love. The parent that never asks, that never probes, that doesn't care enough about you to bring you to that place of thinking. A good Rebbe, a good teacher, a parent, is not one that leaves you alone. When you're young, you could be resentful of that, because that's it, being immature. To be challenged, to have to be asked, why are you doing this? The kid says, no other father asks his kid that question. A mazel I have, my father asks me, why do I have to go at 3 o'clock, 95 miles on the Long Island Expressway, 95 miles an hour, I don't mean miles, 95 miles an hour on the Long Island Express while being high. Now, one father in my class asked that question. I have a mazel. My father asks me such a question. What's it your opinion if I drive 95 miles an hour on the Long Island Expressway at 3 o'clock in the morning with my friends smoking? What's it your opinion? Why are you asking me these questions? Why are you on my case? Leave me alone. All the other parents in the class don't care what their kids listen to, what the kids smoke, what the kids drive, what the kids do. Nobody else cares. I have a mazel. My parents, they hack me. It's a big rachmanis when the parents don't care. Of course, that doesn't mean that the parents don't have to use seichel how they talk and how they ask. That's, but the fact that Akash Baruch Hu comes to us from time to time to the person and says, hey, Ayaka, what's going on? There's nothing that shows more how much he loves us. That's why you could be the most understanding and easy person when it comes to somebody else's kids. Sure, go ahead. And you say to your friend, listen, you can't be hard on him. He's got a couple of friends. They want to go out a little bit and smoke and drive. So, if you're going to tell him something, he might go off the derech. But that's somebody else's kid. But if it's your kid, the difference is that you don't love the other kid. You love your kid. And because you love your kid, you can't watch him go down. So you ask. And the kid doesn't like being, nowadays, forget, the kids don't like being asked. I wasn't even asked, I was just told. But the question, Ayaka, is a question that's from Gan Eden Mikedem. And it's the symbol of the greatest love. It means that Hashem values you. B'soch she'ela zu t'muna ha'arocha atzuma shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam. Kadosh Baruch doesn't ask those questions of animals. And the questions that he asks me and you, he doesn't ask if people are not B'nai Bris, or not from the Bris of Avraham Avinu, right? He has questions that he asks us. And when you're young, you think, oh, if I wouldn't be Jewish, I wouldn't have Hashem coming to me and bugging me with this kind of stuff. You remember there's a beautiful story. That's where Moshe Leib Sasse was whistling. It's a beautiful story. I told it to you some time years ago. I don't remember every detail of the story, but the Maisa was so there was a Yid. Yeah, this is the Maisa. It wasn't Moshe Leib Sasse. It was the Sokolover, the Kotzke's grandson, the Sokolover, Susi Elaine. He was married a short time, and he left his where he came from, and he was now in this town. And and he felt very lonely in that town. Isn't this just a gewaltige Maisa? Maybe you know. He felt very lonely. He didn't see, like, in the town where he came, because he was married, where he moved to, he didn't see the kind of, B'nai Aliyah, the Avoda, the Chevra. Anyway, so He was davening someplace that he would daven in a shtiebel. And in that shtiebel, it was a certain yid that every time that he walked into the shtiebel, the sokol of her felt like an ur. He felt something. This guy, there's something going on with this guy, some light. He felt something. The sokol of her was sensitive. And he felt a big ur with this yid. And he asked a few people, you know who that yid is, Nisa? Whatever he's like, you know. Moshe the water carrier, right? He's a very, 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 very posh at Moshe. Moshe the water carrier. So, but the Sokolov saw something's up with this guy. And he tried talking to him a little bit to find out. He sees the Kaitaka doesn't know anything. He's a very, very posh. Anyway, the Sokolov says that one night he was doing some hisbardus by the edge of town. There's a horrible little hut, a little house. And they're singing and dancing and drinking. He sees the Yidden are celebrating. He goes over there. And he sees that it's Moshe's house. Moshe the water carrier's house. And so the Sokolov goes over there and he sees Chevra drinking and they're happy. And he asks one of the friends, there's Moshe lives here, what's the simcha? And they said, we don't know. Moshe says he's giving us some hashka. And we came, we're drinking, we're singing. And he was happy, so we're happy. We don't know. He doesn't tell us. We asked him what's going on. We don't know. He didn't have any kid or anything. We don't know what's going on. But you get free mashka and some nagunim and what's, you know. So the Sokolov waited and he pulled Moshe outside for a minute. He said, okay, listen, Moshe. What's going on over here? Who are you? And what's going on? What's the simcha that you're making? I also want to know the simcha. So Moshe says, look, I don't want to tell the people. I don't want to talk about it. He said, no, I want you to tell me what's the simcha. So he said, look, Rabbi, you know, I'm a schlepper my whole life. I'm a schlepper. And I have the worst job in the whole village. The worst job is the water carrier. And, you know, I get a couple of pennies here and there, but I have a bunch of daughters. I can't marry anybody off like this. So he says that over the years, I took the job that I bring water to the shul first thing in the morning. And I put on a fire so that the chevra could have something hot to drink, some coffee, some tea, whatever. Which is itself a posh of a thing that he was doing that. So that's part of what I do. I do that in the morning. So he said that it was slichus, whatever, and I had to go very, 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 very early to bring water before the oilum comes. I had to bring. And when I was carrying the buckets, all of a sudden I said, Takash Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shalom, I can't go on like this. I can't continue on. I don't know how I'm going to marry off. Came time, my oldest daughter's time to get married. I can't do this anymore. And I said, please, Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Send me, I want to make a chasna. If you could send me 10,000 rubles. You know this, Maisa? Send me 10,000 rubles. I can make a chasn and put them into a place to live. I can do it for 10,000 rubles. I said, please, Rabbi Shalom, if you're there and if you love me, send me 10,000 rubles. So Moshe is telling this to, the Sokolov. So he says that I'm walking to shul and I see on the floor, I'm carrying the water, and I see on the floor an envelope. Like a few minutes later, I see an envelope. I put my water down, I bend and I pick it up. It's exactly 10,000 rubles. So I take the water to shul. And I can't, but actually, you know, it's unbelievable. I have to go home and tell my wife, but I'm excited. But, you know, she says then, but it's, I don't want to wake her up. So she's sleeping. So I put the money away, and I go to shul, to shlichus. I go back to shul, and there's a tumult. People are tumbling, and I ask the chevra what's going on. She said, "You didn't hear the mice." And I said, "What happened?" You know, Nabuch Rivka, who lives over there by this and this over there. You know, her husband died a few weeks ago, and there was a collection that was made for her of 10,000 rubles. And she can't find the envelope. She doesn't know what happened to the envelope. It's her whole life. She's got a bunch of kids. Moshe says, 10,000 rubles, you sure? Yeah, there was a collection of 10,000 rubles. So Moshe doesn't go to say slichas. He leaves shul. And he goes home. And he goes back to bed. And his wife says, Moshe, what are you doing here? Don't you have to go to slichas? He says, I'm not saying slichas. She says, what? No, I'm not slichas. I'm not davening tomorrow. I'm not davening either. I'm done. She doesn't know what's going on with him. He lost his mind. So the way he's told in the story, I think Shlomo Kalba said it over like this, that Moshe is lying there, and Hashem comes to him. Hashem says to him, Moshe. And because he said, I didn't say Kriya Shema either. I didn't say Kriya Shema. So he comes and says, Moshe. So Moshe says, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you anymore. And again, he says, Moshe. And he says, I told you, I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to Shabbos, Kamincha, Shkamarev. How could you do that to me? How could you do that to me? It's like a cruel trick. How could you do that to me? So Moshe says to the Rebbe, he says to the Sokol over there, Hashem comes to me and says again, Moshe, I'm not coming to you about Shachris or Mincha Marv. I'm not coming to you about Talis and Tefillin. I want to know, how can a Jew go to sleep when there's an almana down the block with children that she can't feed? That's what I want to know. And you have 10,000 rubles, you have her money. I wonder, how can a Jew go to sleep? So Moshe says, I knew you're going to start with that. I knew you're going to bring that topic up. He gives a krechs, Moshe. And his wife says, where are you going? He says, no. He takes the envelope. It's very early. He gives a knock. Rivka comes. She comes to the door. The Alman says, Moshe, you okay? What's going on? Everything all right? She says, yeah, I think I heard that you lost. I found an envelope on the ground. I heard. So he says, Moshe, she says, thank you. Anyway, so the Rebbe asks, this Moshe is telling him the story. She says, so what's the party here? So Moshe said, I can't explain this to anybody, but I'm making a party because of that smile on Rivka's face. Now, I'm making a party that the Baruch Shalom cares about me, that I should be a yid, and that he talks to me. That's the simcha. So give all the gemaisa. He said, because the smile on her face was worth 10,000 times the 10,000 rubles, and I can go on carrying water. I'll make a chasana. It won't be such a fancy chasana. I'll be able to make a chasana, but to be a yid, that's what he said. It's a gevaldig maisa. The fact that Hashem talks to us means he cares about us. He doesn't always talk to us with the 10,000 rubles, you know, that way that you get the 10,000 rubles, but he talks to us in a way that's much, much deeper than 10,000 rubles. That's worth much more than 10,000 rubles. And very often it's by your not getting the 10,000 rubles that you become the person. If you continue to listen and you stay in that dialogue with Hashem is brought, then you become much greater. So this is the question. And it shows that how much Hashem cares. Ashayla Azu, this question, back inside, this question, Hashayla Azu, Im kol ha-tviya harifa shabu, with all of the sharpness of Hashem, that it was a sharp question. You could hear it in different ways. When Hashem said Ayaka, you could hear Hashem saying, Sheifel, sweetheart, where are you? simple pshat in the Chumash is Hashem wasn't saying Shefer, the sweetheart, where are you? He's saying, where are you? Like Hashem said to Moshe, what are you lying there going to sleep? It's a strong question, Ayaka. It's demanding something. It's demanding an answer. It's because man has a great soul. And because of that, Hashem has great expectations of us. And because of that, Hashem says, what do you think? What are you doing? Where are you going? Yeah, but everybody else in the world is doing this stuff. Yeah, but you're my son, you're my daughter. That's something else. It's a different cheshmet that we have. The infinite light is in the soul of a Jew. Hashem is Baruch Ma'amin Ba'adam Ad Ma'oid. Hashem has great faith in man. He has tremendous emuna in our ability to transcend, to be better. Rabbe emunoso b'kol echad mi'itanam. Hashem's trust, confidence, and faith in each one of us is much more than we have in ourselves. L'chein ha'sheila amuka b'ko'eves. Therefore, the question of Ayeka is deep and it hurts. The question, ata yahalom yakar. You are a rare and precious diamond. Or miyuchad, you contain within you a unique light that I gave you. How can you be oblivious to this great light? And instead, tonight you want to enjoy the proposals of the snake, to indulge in the snake's in what the snake is offering. La'ilmas redudim nemuchim. Redudim means shallow. Nemuchim means low. To the shallow and low life that the snake is talking to you about, the things that he makes so exciting that he's packaging and marketing and. It's got all kinds of graphics and all kinds of things to make it like it's exciting and it's appealing. It's almost redudim in the muchim. Shallow and low. Sheinim ruim lacha. These are not becoming. In one of the first books that Dr. Tversky wrote many years ago, and there was a chiddush, you know, to have such things to read in English at that time. We're talking about a long time ago, and to have a person of that stature, who was a Welt psychiatrist and Talmud Chacham and descendant of big tzaddikim, and one of the things that impressed me most about that was. He was talking about how his father, the Tzaddik, the Rebbe from Harnstable, Milwaukee, the way his father raised him. And he said that his father didn't reprimand him in the way that parents usually reprimand a child. He said, my father would, if I did something that was bad or that was wrong, my father would say to me, Spasnish. Spasnish. You know, how do you translate that? It doesn't become you. It's a different... A hush of a person is passing. The way you're talking doesn't become a person like you. He said that made such a huge impression on him. How his father gave him musa like that, it's passing. It's in the Slonim Asfarim, it rings a lot, it's brought down a lot in the Slonim Asfarim that Musa b'ni al-timas. It says in Pasuk, Shlomo Melech says, Musa b'ni, the reprimanding or the Musa of my son, al-timas, don't reject or don't be disgusted with my Musa, with my rebuke. But in the Shlomo Melech, it says like this, the biggest Musa that a parent can give to a child is to say, b'ni, you're my child. Al-timas. This is Pasnish. Don't. This will make you into something that you don't want to be. Altimas. Don't make yourself disgusting. He says that's the biggest musa bini altimas. Musa, you want to give musa bini? You're my child. Altimas. It's not becoming of you, such a thing. Sheni muim lacha. What the snake is talking to you about is passing for you. It's not becoming for a person like you. Shehi matzuscha behem, he bezoyin legdulas elokim shachakuka bekirbach. You're giving yourself over to the snake, and what the snake is talking to you about, all this stuff, it's a bezoyin, it's a disgrace to the gedulas elokim, to the greatness of Hashem that's engraved inside of you. Ani amarti elim atim b'nei elon kulchem. Hashem Zbach says to each and every one of us, Elokim Atim, you contain within you, Echelik Elokim Yimal, you contain God within you. Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. You're not stum people that are dragging around in this world, you're Bnei Elyon. You're elevated people. Bnei Elyon Kulchem. Sheila Zum. So because of that, Hashem asks us this question. And because of that, Moshe couldn't sleep. Because he heard Hashem asking him that question. He doesn't ask that as stam of some shikha that's walking around in five and finds 10,000 rubles. Sheila Zubol is Seyel and Hashemus. The question of Ayeka, the same way in Gan Eden, Hashem is coming to help Adam to do the right thing, to help Adam to do tshuva, to help Adam come back to himself. It's the same with us. That question is Ba'al Sayyel Nishamas, is coming to help the Nishamas. Lokum, to get back up. Lulchem Ba'al Saruach Vanefesh, and to get back into the ring and to fight. To fight against the snake. Hashem gives that extra help to ask you and to get you back on your feet so that you can get back into the ring and go at it with the snake, not to throw in the towel and surrender to the snake. Mazhirahi es adam. That voice, that question of Ayeka is to warn the person. Laval ya'aved es atzma. Don't lose yourself. B'yishkach es zehusa. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget your true identity. It makes a demand of you to be a ben charen, to be a person who's free, who's not trapped by the snake, who's not stuck. To be able to bring out in your life your true identity, that true Yeshus that Hashem gave you, the ability that he gave you to bring out in your life. Sheila Lukisu, this godly question, this question of Hashem, Ayeka. Mehad hedes b'mamake chayim, shekol echad mi'itanu. This is echoing in the depths of the lives of each and every one of us, not just Moshe the water carrier. Each and every one of us. She can call Echem Yitanu Hu Yalom Nadir. Because each and every one of us, not just Adam Rishon, is a rare diamond. Ain Adam She'enim Yuchad. There's no person that's not unique. Kfishim Avur B'Svarim, as the Svarim explained to us, the Svarim tell us. Shalakal Echad Yesh Or Yichudi. Shalakal Echad Yesh Or Yichudi. Each one of us has an or yichudi, a unique or. Shiraku yochel ha'ir la'olam. That Hashem created your neshama, my neshama, to bring a certain light to the world that nobody else who ever lived, or ever will live, can bring that light to the world. No one. Or is that this light? Hatoman b'sisrei chadvi ha'lev, that's hidden deep in the chambers of the heart. V'vakesh ad ma'oid l'hismamesh, is begging the person to be able to come out, to to be able to be realized, to be activated, to be revealed. Mishada lanu mimamakim. It's transmitting to us a frequency from the depths of who we are. It's communicating to us something. That voice, Vayeka. Yesh b'cha or, it's saying, Yesh b'cha or. You have within you or, light. Erech godol miyuchad. Some great value, unique. Ha'neshama ha'atzmis ha'avudu b'mamakim. That neshama ha'atzmis, that neshama, that's avudu b'mamakim, that's gotten lost somewhere deep inside of you. Ne'evekes, it's struggling, it's fighting. Sha'odim yoshev l'maitzah, that you should be able to find it again. That you should find it. That's what I was talking a little bit about when we were on the trip of the Chevah 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that we weren't successful every time, you know, finding the Kivrei Tzaddikim that we were looking for. But the point I wanted to make, and I think one of the Chevah gave it a name to the trip of some of that, but to find the hidden tzaddik within yourself, is that it's a lot easier to go spend your entire life going to Kivrei Tzaddikim, which is a beautiful thing to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. But it's, listen, you can get in the car and in between 15 and 20 minutes you could be at the oil, right? It's not a long drive, but I had to live near the oil. People come from all over the world to get to the aisle. And we live a few minutes away from the aisle. And you could be a person that you like to go to the aisle, and you like to say Tilim, and you like to daven. It's a lichtige place. It's a piece of Yerushalayim sitting over here in the middle of nowhere. And it's a gewaltig good thing. But it's a lot easier to get in the car and to go 15, 20 minutes than to go to inside yourself, right? That's much harder. That's tzaddik that's buried inside of you. That's what we were talking about a little bit on the trip. I think in Tzfas I was talking to you a little bit about that. That we have the schus to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. It's not like it used to be the people you'd have to travel for months to get to or something. We have the schus that we can get it, go into the car, get into a plane. It's not so hard to go to. You can go to sleep and the next day you're standing by the Ariyak Kodesh. You could be over here and the next minute you're in Uman or by Shaila Kerestir. You could have people there going and they're going and this and it's good. I'm a big believer in that. But you could run around the whole world and you never ever dig to find that kever inside of you where you buried that person 50 years ago. You buried 60 years ago. Or your parents buried or your teacher buried. Or whatever, somebody buried and it's lost. And when we were over there by the Mishnah's Chassidim, there was that Tzaddik Lubavitcher that was talking to us at night. And you know, how they found the kever of the Mishnah's Chassidim over there in the middle of in some backyard. I don't know where we were over there. And this shlich is a shlich of 48 years. And he comes there. And he was talking to us about how they found the kever of the Mishnah's Chassidim. All kinds of ways of finding the Kivrei Tzaddikim. And Eretz Yisrael is not so hard because the Ariyak Kodesh used to go around and say, here. They had the Arizal up in the north. The Ariyak Kodesh was the one of us. Okay, we don't have. How do you do that without that reason? How do you find a kever without that reason? But all of that is still easier than finding the kever inside of yourself, where the tzaddik is buried inside of you. Sheim says shmoi shenishkach, meaning to find the name that's missing. I spoke of this many times over the years. You know that there's a custom by many of the chaver kedishas. It's brought down in the Svarim. This goes back a long way, that when somebody is being buried at 120, they're putting the person in the grave, that somebody leans over and says, "Not, don't forget your name." Everybody has seen that. Don't forget your name. And they'll call out the name of the person and remember your name. Because when the person first leaves this world and the first interview is, "What's your name?" Which is why it's brought down the Kitzah Shlo and other Svarim. It's one of the reasons for the custom that at the end of Shemoneh Esrei you say a pasuk, you know, with the name from the beginning, the end, whatever. Is that'll help you to remember your name. What's the meaning of forgetting your name? What do you remember your name? And what's the question when a person dies? What's your name? What do you mean? What's my name? Everybody knows their name. The question of what's your name doesn't mean you don't remember your name. It means did you live up to your name? Because the name of a person contains the secret of what that person was sent into this world to accomplish. The name is who you are. Forgetting your name means that you lived in this world for whatever it was, 80, 90, 120 years. You had this name and you forgot it. You forgot your name. The worst thing is to forget your name. Mr. Tachlis. Shiyim says Shmo Shnishkam. Is that your name is crying out, is screaming out to you from within you to be remembered? I mean, obviously you should do the best you can to always be called by your Jewish name and to use your Jewish name. That goes without saying. But the name, they're not, you know, you can't answer when you get the Eilam Hamas, you know, my name is, Bertha. I'm not making fun of any Bertha, I don't know why it came to my head. But you can't say that. But the name is the person. And it's very easy to forget your name. And you go your whole life, and it's not your name. You're living somebody else's, whatever. And if you hear your name and you remember your name, then you can come back to yourself. To live a life, which is ercho hamiti, with your the true value of who you are is the way that you're living. Ercho heloki, that godly erech, value and worth. Vaz lo dimyanes shav yivakesh. Then instead of looking for all kinds of dimyanes shav, meaning silly, meaningless, and phony dimyanes, things that are not real, dimyanes, delusions, what the snake is talking about. Chalufais zulas, cheap substitutes for who you are, cheap substitutes. El Chayim v'Gadol, but to live a life of Chayim v'Gadol, great life. Kodesh v'Torah, life is Kodesh and Torah, or Ein Seif. Instead of listening to the snake and trying to find something, chshivas or some chshivas or something exciting in the life that the snake is offering. You know the mice with the Rebbe Abzushi and the Rebbe Lamech, the two brothers. At one time, I'll just give you the short version of it. One time, the two brothers, the tzaddikim, they were walking, and whatever, and the Rebbe Abzushi said that to his brother, he said, you know, Mailach, that Adam Arishon was a very great person. And the Rebbe Abzushi says, no. So the Rebbe Abzushi said, Mailach, Adam Rishon didn't want to eat from the tree. He was a big tzaddik. He never wanted to eat from the tree, and he never would have eaten from the tree. So the Rebbe Melech says, but he ate from the tree. So the Rebbe of Zushi said, the only reason he ate from the tree is because of Zushi, because of me. He wasn't going to eat from the tree, it was only because of Zushi. So his brother said, what are you talking about? So yet, he said, it's because of me that Adam Rishon ate from the tree. You know the story? So he said, so Mael says, you know, the Rebbe Zushi was a big tzaddik. You know. So his brother asked him, what are you talking, what do you mean? So he said, look, Adam Rishon, the nachas, the snake came to Adam Rishon. And the snake said to Adam Rishon, if you eat from the tree, then this and this and that and this and this and that. Ooh, what you're going to have, all the stuff that everybody ever wanted. Whatever that is in the Tovira, you'll have all that stuff. You'll have everything. And the snake was saying, I have this key in my hand that you should be able to open this up to have everything you could ever want, all the happiness, all the excitement you could ever want if you eat from the tree. So the Rebbe of Zusha said that other Marishan had no interest in doing that. He never ever was going to do such a thing. But Zusha forced him to eat from the tree. I was the one, I was there, inside of him. I was the one that pushed him to take from the tree. So the Rebbe says, why did you do that? You know, we have a lot of aggravation. Why did you do that? So the Rebbe of Zusha said, because if I wouldn't have done it, then for the rest of time, whatever would have been in the world, Hashem has plans with the world beyond Gan Eden. Whatever would have been with the world, whatever would have been in life, there would always be this snake laughing and holding his hand closed and saying, you're an idiot. You know what I have in here? You're such an idiot. I have everything inside. And every single person that would ever live would always be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this thought that maybe there's something better. In other words, maybe that will talk and make me happy. What the snake has is maybe better. Maybe that will make me happy because I'm not feeling so great. Maybe that will make me happy. So I wanted to open the hand of the snake and to show that he's a liar. It's a lie. Stam, the miyanis, never makes anybody feel better, never makes anybody happy. There's only one way to be in this world, is to be an Eved Hashem. That's what the Rebbe Zusha said. And to work hard to be an Eved Hashem. It's better that man lives with that struggle with Ra than with the delusion, Kiel, the Ra is Taif. Not to live a life of sveikis and of delusions. The Ra is Ra, Zo. The snake is Ra. You have to make a decision to grow up and to make a decision to choose good and to reject evil. But not to live every single moment of your life. Maybe the tax taka good. Maybe what he's saying is, that's the good thing. That's not. I have to live with the difficulties, but at least it's an honest life. I have to try to make good choices. That's what the Rebbe Zusha said. It's a very deep story. These are the cheap substitutes that the Nachash comes with. L'chaim, v'god, l'kadosh, v'tor, or ein saif. To live that life of greatness, of or ein saif. The next page, b'yameinu. In our days, in our times, im, his paschus ha'olam, with the all of the developments in the world and technology, a technology of media, technology in the media. Sheila zu nesta relevantit ad ma'od. This question of Ayaka is more relevant than ever because there's never been as much noise. There's never been as much, the snake has never been as loud. The snake has never had so much to offer. Like our great grandparents, you know, whatever, somebody grew up in a little village, like what was there to offer in that village? What was there? What were the hasagas that you can get in that village? But nowadays, even in the last few years, that a person now has the snake, the sound of the snake, with it, when it comes to the phone, the computer, a person's not. Doesn't have to go anywhere. Doesn't have to take a trip anywhere. There's so much noise with the snake. There's never been as much noise with the snake. There's never been as much a production. The snake puts on a big production now. There's never such a production like this. The advertising, the graphics of the snake. Like what did you have if you grew up in Anatevka, you know, in 1830? What was in Anatevka in 1830? Like how much of a noise was there? There was a noise. Because as I said earlier this morning, there's always a noise. But Adke de Kach, like the snake these days is like so unbelievably like colorful and versatile and got stuff. He's got a lot of schaira, the snake. It used to be in the old days the snake that got a couple of things. But now the snake has a schayer. So much schayer the snake has. So the question of Ayeka, you know, is that possibility of getting lost in that world of the snake is now such an easy thing to get lost. So the question of Ayaka is more relevant. You know, if a person's in a certain place and there's only like two streets in the place, So there's a 50% chance of getting lost, you know. But when you have 1,000 streets, you know, like when you, I always talk about that spot you get to when you get to New Jersey. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. What? So you're going like, some of those rare occasions, you're going like 55 miles an hour. You know, it's like 2 in the morning, and then, and you know, like I'm trying to get someplace, and then, all right, now, but I find this even with the Waze, it's a challenge. Because you know, it doesn't. So my wife's always saying, Marsh, look at the thing, it's showing you on, but I don't do that, I always look up there. And then it's going like this, I don't know, Garden State, this one, Turnpike, and Turnpike South, Turnpike North, local streets, T-neck, I don't know what's going on over here, there are 20 signs over there, and I don't know when they're all next to each other, so where do I go? Just, I need to go, I don't know where to go. And the way it says, it just gives like a general thing. Go, stay to the right. I don't know where. If I stay to the right, but even on the right, there are like 5 things. And my wife's at the same time, I'm looking over the mic. My wife says, look at the thing. I said, I can't look at the thing. I have to drive. I'm looking over here. And she looks, look over there. And then you can hit the guy in front of you. It's crazy up there, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're living in now. There's just so many things going on. So the question of Ayeka, where are you? Are you getting lost? Are you taking the wrong exit? That's the question of Ayeka. I think you took that. Not I shouldn't say I think. So you took the wrong exit. You took the wrong exit. This is not your exit. Hakidma Pischa, progress has made it possible, has opened. Rabbas, as Merchav Achaim Achitzoni, that there's so much more that's out there. You know, this the external life of a person is so much more colorful and so much out there. That Ha'odim Yochel Teich Shos Borodos. Larva, then you a person in a matter of hours. That's not even on the computer. Just you could travel from one continent to the other. Chadoshos v'divuchim mikol ha'olam, and you can get reports from all over the world. A person can sitting and gets all kinds of is bombarded with all kinds of news and reports from every all different things in the world. We never had such a thing. Mikol ha'olam muzrom are being streamed b'kol shni every second. Tasiyas hamedya shotefes is nefesh adam. This industry of the media is drowning the soul of man. Bishikar natzlilim, the drunkenness of sounds, of ahamaros and sights. Va smartphone memachir besipuk chavoyes v'rigushim, and the smartphone is addictive, in the excitement and the experiences that it gives a person. You know, the all kinds of chavayot that it gives a person. It's addictive. K'mochein ha'olam nasa tachruti mod, and the world is so competitive. Hatzlochas b'dmus ta'arim, to be matzliach, and to think your hatzloch depends on getting certain titles and being called, you know, getting certain degrees or titles or whatever it is. Pirsum v'akar chavos, everybody's the self-promotion, the people promoting themselves. Even in Torah, you see the shiurim people, the self-promotions and all kinds of things, and with work and trying to, you have to get yourself out there. How do you get out there? You got to get out there. The whole world has to know about you if you want to be matzliach. These have become new ways of a person measuring how much he's worth. We never had this way of measuring one's worth. That has a tremendous, a very deep effect upon how one relates to himself and sees oneself. And what? How do you measure your self-worth? Everybody's crying about how self-esteem. Nobody has self-esteem. There used to be a way to measure your self-worth. Are you a decent, moral person? If you're a Jew, are you Shomer Mitzvahs? Are you decent? Are you moral? No, it's not. If you have that now, you're a loser. There are a million other ways of how you measure your self-worth. So then, and what came of all of it? Nobody has any self-worth. It's like, when it was simple, are you religious? Are you a good father? Are you a good mother? Are you a good husband? Are you a good wife? Are you a good kid? It used to be pretty simple, how you would evaluate self-worth. And people had self-worth. Not anymore. And everything is about self-esteem. And nobody has any. And there are a billion different ways. And it's not, because it's never about true self-worth and self-value. Because when religion is thrown out, when God is thrown out, and when simple, decent human morality is thrown into the garbage, then and you're given a billion different choices of how to define your worth, whether with money or with success and other things, so then nobody has any self-worth. That's the Messias. We're living in a time where people hate themselves more than ever before. People hate themselves. You talk to kids, they hate themselves. Why do you hate yourself? You're a nice kid. Why do you hate yourself? How many times have I had this conversation? I had like a 16-year-old girl telling me a few years ago, oh, she hates herself. I said, what do you hate? Why? What did you do? What's the matter with you? Why do you hate yourself? Such a lashon to say you hate yourself. You could say, you're disappointed in how I behaved. I spoke back to my mother yesterday. What do you mean you hate yourself? But this is what's going on. Shefa chumyas moishechu memacher. This shefa, this crazy like flood of stuff draws, and it's addictive. Liknos to buy, litzbarhon to hoard. To be able to somehow taste and to experience of everything that's out there. Like the world became like a crazy smorgasbord of stuff. And everybody's pushing on that line to get something, to have some experience. I didn't go snowboarding yet in the Alps or something, I don't know, whatever. These hasagas, like, you know, and like kids have these hasagas. Like somebody was telling me a few years ago about they can't take their kid anymore. To go to Florida already. It's like, you know, that's like the Nebuch kids in the neighborhood. They go to Florida. The kids, he's telling me, my kids and my wife, they want something like something. Mashu. Florida is no good. It's a mamashu. To go something, it has to be different. Difference has to be something new and something different. Just like if you decide that you want to name your daughter Rachel, what kind of name is Rachel? What kind of name is Rachel? Like Binyamina. Binyamina. I had a phone call. I hope this person doesn't listen to the thing. And it's like, don't take it. And don't take it personally, but there was somebody that asked me about somebody that was davening. A rabbi asked me about somebody that was davening by them. Please don't listen to this. That was asking that they name their daughter Amuna, their first daughter, and they want to name that had a boy, they want to call him Bitochen. So I said, ask him what about, call him Chavis Lavavis, call him Zerizis, call him Asis, why stop at Bitochen? If you meet some, she had 9, 10 children, call by all the different meters that are out there, Aslus and Aslus. Whatever, call by, Simcha's all right. Why? And something, there's something. Our name, our kid's name. This is a name that's gonna. Everybody's gonna be jealous of my kid's name. No one ever heard of such a name like this. Bitochen. Bitochen. Not raw. You say to somebody now. And I have this all the time. That this is mostly with the problems with the women. Sorry, girls. The guys are usually fine with the names. Mostly the women. I have this. 99% is with the women. That the girls are saying they want some kind of a name. First it's that the guy tells me that my wife's grandmother died 2 months ago. What's her name? Her name is Rachel. So I said, so what are we talking about? So what's wrong with Rachel? She doesn't like the name Rachel. So then it became, of course, Rachel. That became Rachel some years ago. It became Rachel, even though Ashkenazim don't say Rachel. Rachel, we say Rachel. But Rachel doesn't have a... doesn't sound good. Doesn't have a ring to it. Rachel. We have to make it into Rachel. You know, Ashkenazim don't talk that way. For Sradia, but we have to make it into Rachel, not Rachel. And in English, you have to spell it like 3 L's, and you know what I mean? A couple of CH's and a few L's and things, and an E at the end to make it like it's chosh of a name. Rachel Imenu. And then at the same time, everybody cries, Mama Rachel, Mama Rachel. But they don't want to give the name Rachel. We have to give some kind of a name, a Welch name, that nobody ever heard of this name, because my kid is going to... This is all the snake. The narishkeit of this, of that noise of the world that says that your child is going to be worth more if she has some name that nobody ever thought of. the most valuable names in the world are the ones that we've been thinking about for the last few thousand years, not the ones that nobody ever thought of. Watch out for those names. There's a reason why nobody ever thought of your name. Why didn't anybody ever think? Why the Chassam Sofer didn't think of that name? He's a smart person, the Chassam Sofer. How come he didn't call his daughter by that name? There's a reason for that. And there's a reason why they call their girls Rachel and Leah. There's a reason for that. You're going to be smarter and you're going to have... There's all shtiyot. There's all the sound of the snake. And you forget yourself. And then you give your kid a name. It's not a name. And the kid goes around his whole life or her whole life with a name that's not even a name. Not a name. Then all the malachim is saying, whoever it is, it's a name. What's a name like that? What does that even mean? What kind of name is that? What were you looking for in giving that name? You were looking to what? You were looking to have a better name than your sister-in-law gave to her kid. A name that has a certain ring that nobody ever heard of. And it's going to be like your girl's going to walk into the room and everybody's going to say, oh, look, here goes, you know, here goes whatever. That, I don't want to say a name because someone has that name around me. here comes Bitochen. Hashem Yerachem. We should listen to our own names and remember our own names. And Hashem should remember us.